the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Who would have thought 2 or 3 years ago that today there would be more than 250 stablecoins around the world and over 1,200 tokenized assets backed by actual value? Yet here we are. It seems that stablecoins are just the beginning of something much bigger in the financial world. If you thought you were spoiled for choice, just wait to see what's coming down the pipe. Trillions of dollars in assets are moving onto the blockchain. Now, is that a good thing? Undoubtedly, for some, because retail investors will get access to new and fascinating investments. Even if you've just got 50 Rand to invest, you can trade 24/7 just like you can with Bitcoin. Philip Zentner is co-founder and CEO of LeFi. Philip started his career as a web developer in 2002 and 5 years ago, in 2021, launched LeFi with a bold bet that the future of digital assets would be fragmented and the world would need a universal system that connects different digital asset networks, allowing users to move money and assets smoothly between them without friction. Today, over 1,000 enterprises, including Robinhood, Binance, and many of the top wallets are powered by LeFi's infrastructure. Philip, welcome to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, and thank you very much for your time. You said stablecoins are only the beginning. Can you walk us through how stablecoins are laying the groundwork for a much broader on-chain financial ecosystem?
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me. So nice to meet you. Yeah, stablecoins are really solving the chicken and egg problem for so many other value chains to come on chains, or supply chains, you can say. Essentially, when we look at the blockchain as a technology, blockchain was always the idea of, hey, how can we put something as a layer on top of the internet that not only connects humanity on a communication level, but on an exchange, trade, coordination, and incentive level. And that's what the blockchain allows. And so we saw many industries trying to come on chain, from gaming to supply chain, making logistics transparent and so on. But there is no strong incentive to take that migration effort if there is no financial system to work with. Regulatory frameworks like the Genius Act, these things really now allow whole industries to come on chain and actually create new efficiencies amongst market participants. And that's why we see this huge influx of stablecoins. We see large corporations, large banks issuing their own stablecoins. And furthermore, obviously, we are seeing different players that try to make it a winner-takes-it-all markets, right? Like a Tether, a Circle. Yesterday, we saw OpenUSD issued by Stripe with 140 partnerships. But really, having stablecoins on chains across currencies allows us in the next step to build money markets. And suddenly, we can leverage that to make it easier for businesses to grow their business. I'll give you an example. Let's say you are a t-shirt manufacturer. If all your sales would be on chain, we would have transparency around that factory's productivity, right? We could see, hey, okay, over the past few months, that manufacturer sold a decent amount of t-shirts. We have all that on chain. If that manufacturer would make that information public, even in a private corridor to a certain money market, let's say a lending protocol, he could permissionlessly take out a loan to grow his business. All of that is enabled by stablecoins in the first place, including obviously blockchain as a technology. But there's a whole new level of efficiencies, which today takes intermediary banks, multiple months of coordination and paperwork. All of that could be automated. So stablecoin really is the enabler for that new, more modern world of money markets. I hope that was not too much.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we're seeing a growing momentum in tokenized assets such as treasuries and equities, commodities, other real-world assets. So it has been said this is the year of the stablecoin, and what's to come after this is going to be tokenization. How do you see this trend evolving? And I guess talk about LeFi, and what role it's going to play in making these assets more accessible. Because you're really dealing with the plumbing, the infrastructure behind this, and connecting these different players in the market.
Yes, tokenization really is the natural successor of digitization. Digitization, we took analog information and we put it into flat data items in siloed databases. Tokenization adds state to that kind of information. Right. So that is really what's happening. And because this is such an important step, it is happening across the globe. issued by so many different institutions. So there are so many companies out there that are tokenizing their real-world assets to not only have the information that they own a house in a database, but actually the house is an entity, the entity is on-chain, it's uncorruptible, and there's a clear owner attached to it. And that tokenization process happens on many, many chains. We see closed systems like BlackRock Buildle or Franklin Templeton's Benji or MasterCard's multi-token network. Then we see public chains like Ethereum, Solana, Avalanche, specialized chains like Provenance and Plume, and then conglomerate blockchains like Canton. And they all go into tokenizing real-world assets. That fragmentation is difficult. It is very clear why this is happening. It's happening for two reasons. One is for physical reasons. Blockchains are still early and they don't scale well. We see this with high transaction costs. Like the moment they are actually decentralized as in Ethereum, transaction costs are too high. The second reason is there's a strong economic incentive to have your own blockchain. Right, we see this with like Franklin Templeton. We see this with Robinhood and Robinhood Chain, Kraken, Inc., Coinbase, Base, Binance, BSC. There's a strong incentive to own the chain you are onboarding your users on, because now you have full control about value capture, keeping the transaction fees for yourself, and things like that. And you could also make it more compliant if you need to. And we are yet awaiting Clarity Act and other regulatory frameworks. So this fragmentation is really, which somehow needs to be solved, because if you are a trading desk or you're a brokerage app and now you want to access these different stocks on so many different chains, that is tons of procurement process right there. There is so much relationship management to be handled, so much due diligence to be handled. And LeFi is really aggregating all these assets. It's aggregating all the data service providers, the trading venues, and we are aggregating and abstracting away this whole industry, essentially. Similar to what Stripe did for payments, or Twilio did for communication APIs, or Plaid did for banking APIs, we do that for crypto APIs and provide everything out of the box, highly optimized for enterprise. And that allows blockchains to get adopted faster by large corporations.
Okay, so we're talking here about all sorts of blockchains having to talk to each other and all these data points interconnecting. Because really what's at the end of the chain is trillions of assets are going to be traded or stored or custodied. There've got to be friction points here. This is where you come in. What are those friction points that businesses are facing today?
Yeah, the friction points are really like this fragmentation happens on many, many levels. That's half of the blockchain. The blockchain can have different smart contract languages. We see this already in the most basic example between EVM, like Ethereum-based chains, and Solana. But then also Canton or Stellar are very different smart contract languages. That automatically implies that there are different asset standards. So like how a token is expressed on chain looks differently, has different meta information. So this data has to be aggregated and it has to be homogenized so that someone can make sense out of all of this. We might have the same USDC representation look very different on Solana than it looks on Ethereum. On top of that, we have different exchanges and we have different interoperability solutions, so different types of bridges. And we could talk about interoperability for 1 second, maybe. Bridging assets from one chain to another is very complex. There are different ways to do it. The most basic way is to burn an asset on one chain and mint it on another chain. That is the logic of accounting, right? We can't just copy money. So we need to burn it somewhere to be able to mint it somewhere. That includes finality risk. It's very capital efficient that way, but it's very slow because in order to mitigate finality risk, we need to wait some time. So that doesn't make sense for payments. So on top of minting and burning, which only makes sense for large amounts, we have lock and release mechanisms. So we have bridges that have so-called liquidity pools, huge pools of capital. Now I'm sending money on the source chain into this liquidity pool that here is my USDC. And in return, I'm getting it released on the destination chain. This lock and release doesn't need to take finality risk that much. It is much easier, much faster and cheaper. But now I have a capital efficiency problem. So a third level would be an intent-based bridge. In an intent-based bridge, I'm just taking the order that I want to bridge money from A to B. And then there is a third-party set of solvers and market makers that can fulfill my order. So it's going to be auctionized, and who fills it the fastest and cheapest wins. But then again, market maker capital is mercenary. So again, we are introducing speed, but we are losing capital efficiency. Essentially, it only works at scale. LeFi sits on top of all these different ways to bridge assets, on all these different ways to trade assets on the same chain as well. And we simply have a smart order routing across everything that allows us to swap and move assets, and everything is a tucked way to always pick the best route for whatever use case. A payments use case is a different use case than if I'm a liquid fund and need to rebalance $1 billion in portfolio value. So you need different trading venues for these different use cases.
Right. So maybe just explain LeFi for a minute here. You know, we've got Stripe in the payment system. How do you fit into this ecosystem? Would you compare yourself with the likes of a Stripe comparison purposes?
Yes. So let's go back to what Stripe did in the beginning. If you were to build an online shop in 2010, and that online shop was supposed to sell goods across the globe, you would sell in Indonesia, you would want to sell in Thailand, you want to sell in Germany and in the US, you would have to implement local payment gateways from these countries to support local payment solutions, because Visa and MasterCard, they were not the dominant players, but there are different credit card providers, there are different payment solutions in all of these countries. So really, Stripe was aggregating dozens of payment solutions across the globe. There was a lot of fragmentation across currencies and payment gateways, and that's across like over 100 countries. And Stripe really did that. They took all these different payment gateways, they aggregated them, and then they created a very simple API interface and documentation to allow developers that were developing online shops or software as a services really to take money from anywhere. We do the very same thing for crypto. LeFi aggregates different chains, data service providers, like which assets are available on which chain and at which price are they trading. And then we have a smart order routing across these trading venues. So all of that comes out of one API. If you are a wallet, you want to offer swapping across 70 chains. With LeFi, you can do that within one implementation. You want to bridge assets across 70 chains. You can also do this with one integrations. And this really applies to so many use cases. So we are powering commercial solutions where we are solving for stablecoin fragmentation. We help liquid funds to rebalance their portfolios across chains. We are powering the core business models of the largest wallets in the industry. And we see us being implemented in neobanks nowadays for RWA trading. So there's a lot we are covering with the very same solution.
It's quite impressive that LeFi launched just 5 years ago, it has grown so quickly. You've got now 1,000 enterprises and some really big names amongst your clients. I mean, how did that happen? Were you focused on the plumbing of this new tech while others were fascinated with speculation and the profits to be made from Bitcoin? And you saw that, hang on, this is coming and they're going to need a solution because of the fragmentation of all these blockchains.
Yes, exactly. It was very clear for us. There's a huge B2B play on the long term. So other people were actually just focusing, launch their protocols, launch a token, cash out and move on. And we went the painful way of selling this to enterprise, building an enterprise-ready solution between us. I've been living out of my suitcase and hotels for the past 5 years. I was in over 60 cities last year. I was in over 50 cities the year before. Now we have July 1st today, right? I've been to 28 cities this year already. It's just show up more often than your competition. It's about money. So as a CEO, show up, meet product managers, meet other CEOs, build trust and make sure people want to work with you. And for that, you just have to show up.
Finally, Philip, let's just look at the future of the space. The big institutions are clearly adopting blockchain at a very aggressive rate. Stable coins, you know, everybody, every bank is looking at stable coins, Visa, MasterCard, all of them. And it seems to be the main motivation is to reduce margins and maybe squeeze a little bit of extra margin. But is there something in this for everyone, or are we inevitably going to, you know, find out that the institutions have captured the space as they have done with pretty much every other technology?
I believe it's going to be a combination of both. I think for now, there's this narrative that DeFi is dead and TradFi has won. I think it will be a hybrid. I think we're going to see tons. So now we are onboarding traditional finance. They come in many different ways, tokenizing trillions of assets and make them available. And slowly but surely there will be a new wave of DeFi applications piggybacking on all these trillions of assets and come on chain again. I just believe it's the next growth phase is institutional adoption. And then there's room for DeFi again. And it's also probably at some point we're gonna see DeFi regulations shaping up differently in different countries and regions of the world. So maybe right now it's like very, you know, constrained, heavily regulated, like we are used to in the West. But what about African countries? What about Southeast Asia? They might be more open to be, or Middle East, and be like, you know what? Actually, we make it less regulated. And suddenly, when already trillions are on chain, they're gonna see like there's a lot of value to be captured to keep things open. That again will then shape new regulations in the West as well. So, you know, it's going to be like the internet. At some point, we kept it all open. We kept it like in the beginning of the internet, there were like conglomerates around like some sort of intranets. You know, there were like, or extranets, how do you call it? I think it's intranet is like internet, extranets.
It's kind of an internet.
Right. Like, so they're like different shapes of forms, but the internet was not like it is today since the beginning. And I think this is just like a process over the next 10 to 15 years. It's just like things have to happen until the other party FOMOs out, regulation will shape and will change again. This will organically open up step by step. And I think that's also healthy that way. Because really, if you look at blockchain infrastructure, it's still all fairly immature, you know? And traditional finance needs, for example, guaranteed execution. Can't drop transactions or it's stuck on a bridge. No, your money is better not stuck on a bridge. It's better be delivered within a second, right? So there is so much more to improve and build. We are very, very early. I'm extremely bullish. The blockchain is an absolute necessity. I think people are underestimating what this unlocks in terms of efficiency. It will bring humanity together on a new level like the internet did. But it's another 20 years to go to actually see that outcome. But it's great. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Philip Zentner, who is the co-founder and CEO of LeFi. Thank you very much for your time, Philip.
Thank you, too. It was a pleasure.
For listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.